standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Ryan's here today. Ryan looks like a sunset. If you're not, this is the medium of radio. You can't watch us on Twitch. You can watch us on YouTube. You can watch us on Twitter. You can watch us on TikTok. If there's anything else you can watch us on, let us know, and we'll be on that thing, too. Yeah. Got a little red soccer kit. Is that a soccer kit, Ryan? I don't think he's very happy that I'm talking about.
Myers.
And then what is that hat? It's an orange hat.
It's a pineapple plantation my brother got me for my birthday.
Yeah. Okay. He looks very handsome. He just looks like a sunset.
Yes. Biggest person in soccer matters today, so he's got a rep.
Oh, there you go.
Because they're at Senate Avenue Brewing today. You can catch them. Brian and Glenn will be there from 6 to 8 today.
There you go. Yep, it's going to be a good time. I like Senate Ave Brewing. I'm jealous we don't get to go out there very much because Glenn does. They have great food.
The food is very good.
Delicious cold beer. Mm-hmm. It is very, very good. Ryan, how old are you?
A whopping 24.
24. You have a girlfriend?
Not yet.
We should do something about that. We should do something about that.
A dating show?
Maybe. Ryan, how do you date much?
Not recently.
I don't know how with that mustache.
I know, right?
I'm surprised they're not knocking down the door.
Mustaches are great.
I said it in a very complimentary way.
Just making sure.
Ryan, I think you'd be a good catch. I mean, you're a handsome fellow. You're young. You're career motivated. And you're professional. You do a great job whenever you fill in for Brian. I think you would make a girl very happy. I think you would make someone very, very lucky. I think we could help you out.
Problem is, I'm just broke.
Yeah, that's
sorry.
Usually girls like money.
Yeah, that's true.
That is a problem. Everything else is going well for you. The check account, not great.
Yeah.
Not wonderful.
It's not my fault.
What a start to the show today. We're just grilling Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you got to do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to do that. But, I mean, you're young. You can have fun. Do that sort of thing. Are you on any of the apps?
I try to stay off of them.
That's probably, I don't know if that's smart or not smart.
They can work. Worked for me.
You could be Ryan's a throwback. Ryan's a throwback. I think that's going to be part of his story. Mm-hmm. I think it's part of his attraction.
Okay.
Is that he's a throwback. You know, he's old school. He's not one of these millennials. You know, they can't get behind, you know, they're always on their screen.
I don't think he's a millennial.
A Gen Z, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Well, Gen Z is even worse. You knew what I meant.
I'm just saying. I don't know if I want to be Ryan. Ryan's part of... I'm a millennial.
Yeah, no, me
too. I don't know if I want Ryan part of our group.
It's the worst thing about me.
Yeah.
It's good to have you, Ryan. Hope we don't scare you off. Lots to get to today. We'll cash him. We'll trash him. We'll hand out some game balls. Is there an SEC bias? Is that real? Is there a real thing about that? Because that's always an argument in college football season every year. And this is usually about the time you start to have it. Mid-October, you start to have it. So we'll get to that a little bit later as well. But Monday Night Football, the big game in Monday Night Football yesterday, the one that you and everybody were dialed into, Falcons-Bills. I know that had all of your attention, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
But how about that? Atlanta looking really good. Statement victory. Are we buying it? Are we buying that Atlanta is for real and they are a real threat in the NFC?
I can't do it. They just lost 30-0 to the Panthers 2 weeks ago.
Panthers are 3-3, though.
I know they are, but
it's not a losing football team.
To lose 30-0 to the Carolina Panthers. And then to beat the Bills, it's just like, who is Atlanta? That, to me, is what last night. You saw what could be a good football team. Bijan Robinson is electric. I really like Tyler Allgeier as well. Drake London is very good. You don't have Darnell Mooney. Kyle Pitts is still kind of useless. Michael Penix was fine. But who are you, really? Are you the team that beat the Bills, or are you the team that beat the Panthers? And if I was going to bet on it, I'd bet on them being the team that lost to the Panthers. Not the team that beat the Bills.
Where I'm at in pro sports is I usually like to throw away the outliers. Like, I think there's one or two games. Maybe, you know, NFL 17 games, you don't have as many outliers, right? Because there's just not as many games. But usually a game or two, like, you're ceiling. Because you're usually going to win a game or two that you shouldn't win, right? Mm-hmm. You're gonna beat the Buffalo Bills. You're going to have a game where you go for 500 yards and the game plan was perfect and you dialed it up and you just played out of your mind. There's usually one or two like that. There's usually one or two where you can't do anything right. you know, you can't get out of your own way. The other team had the perfect game plan. Bryce Young smokes you. Like, there's always going to be a game or two that goes each way. And who you are is usually in the middle. You're usually in those other middle, that's 4 minus 17 minus 4, that's 13. You're usually that middle 13, right? Somewhere around there. So I'm willing to throw away the Carolina 30-0 drubbing and throw that out as an anomaly. But if I'm doing that, I have to throw out the other extreme, right? The other extreme would be last night against Buffalo, in which I think they should have won more than by more than 10 points.
Absolutely.
They scored 24 points in a night where they had 443 yards of total offense.
See, and that to me, that's concerning. That's where it's like, okay, how did you not score more when Bijan Robinson rushed for 170 yards himself? Drake London had 158 receiving yards, should have had 2 touchdowns. But how did you not score north of 30 points in this game? It's like, that doesn't really, like, there to me, there's still an execution issue. I think that to me speaks more about the Bills defense being a problem than it does maybe about the Falcons offense being good enough to lead them to an above 500 record and in the playoffs. Because with the Bills now, I mean, you've lost 2 games in a row, and you have a game this year in which you allowed 40 points to the Baltimore Ravens, who we know are a good offense. But Derrick Henry's best game of the season was against the Bills. Drake May was very good. And then we saw Bijan Robinson last night be very good against the Bills defense. So yeah. I'm like, maybe the Bills defense has some major flaws.
I don't know how you got from Atlanta to the Bills defense. That was quite the ride there.
Well, Atlanta's offense was very good last night.
So if we dismiss Carolina, the Carolina game where they get smoked 30-0. Let's dismiss last night where they should have scored more points than they did, but still beat Buffalo. That's a statement victory, like they were saying on the broadcast. The other 3 games, I think, does speak well to the Falcons. You lost one of them, Tampa, 23-20. Okay, there's no shame in that. Baker Mayfield might be the MVP. Tampa Bay, very good football team. They're being considered, like, as a team to beat in the NFC. They went to Minnesota and beat them 22-6. And look, Minnesota quarterback problems. I think that was the game McCarthy got quote-unquote hurt. He got the phantom injury and then all of a sudden got placed like, oh, he's got a high ankle sprain. He's not going to play. They diagnosed him with that on Monday after like zero looks from the training staff. I'm kidding. Then they beat the Commanders 34-27.
But
so, like, their middle ground, no Daniels.
Yeah, no Daniels.
No Daniels.
Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, but, I mean, is there a huge drop-off there? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. And then they dominated their bye week, Atlanta did. So, like, in the middle, I think this is a pretty good football team. Like, they still have to come into their own, right? Like, they are very young. Penix has still started less than double-digit games in the NFL. Like, so him playing games is going to get him better. Honey, I don't even know what we're calling him now. Honey Bijan, like, he's changing his mind every other week.
Bijan.
Yeah, but his mom says Bijan. He says Bijan. I don't know who to believe. Which Robinson are we trusting here? But either way, like, most dynamic offensive running back in the NFL, I think it's fair.
Absolutely.
If he's not one, he's in the top 3. Drake London's a stud. They're missing some offensive pieces, and that defense is pretty good. I think Raheem Morris is a fine head coach. I think that we should be paying more attention to Atlanta. Now, do they need to execute better in the red zone? Yes. They're 27th in the league in scoring, but they're 2nd in yards. What kind of discrepancy is that?
That doesn't make any sense.
27th in points, 2nd in yards. How does that make any sense defensively? They are 7th in points, 1st in yards. Maybe the defense is better than their offense. I feel like we're not taking Atlanta as seriously as we should.
I think one of the biggest issues with them is Michael Penix. I mean, outside of passing to Bijan Robinson or Drake London, he was 4-for-16 for 24 yards.
That's not a wonderful stat for Michael Penix.
That's very. I didn't realize it was that bad.
That's not a testament to Mike. Maybe they need to turn to. I'm just kidding. But I mean, that's part of having weapons, though, right? Like,
Yeah. You
want your quarterback throwing to your best players. Now, 4-for-16, obviously, that's not a number that you're thrilled about. But whenever you have Bijan Robinson and you have Drake London, I'm not sure I want 16 passes away from those guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you have. They don't have Darnell Mooney, but, like, is Darnell Mooney the saving grace that they need? Even though Penix and Mooney was good together last year.
So yeah, they had some games.
And maybe that will help him when he eventually gets back on the field for what will probably be a short amount of time because he's hurt always. But I think I'm just going to change it a little bit for you, okay, for me. I don't think they're a pretty good football team. I think they're a good football team.
Okay.
I think they're going to be 8-9 wins. They're going to be right floating around 500.
That's not a good team.
I think in, like, today's NFL.
Oh, 8 or 9 wins is not good.
If 10 gets you into the playoffs, what if you get 9, that's good.
No, 10 is good.
But 10 gets you into the playoffs, 9 doesn't.
Do good teams miss the playoffs?
I think so. Not great teams, but good teams can miss the playoffs.
I think we've hit our impasse there. I don't consider 9 good. I consider 10 good. I consider or playoff. I consider a playoff team good. Like maybe some years it's 9-8.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
too often, but some years. Most years 10-7. I think the double digit wins graduate you to the good tier.
Yeah, I think the way the NFL is going this year, where it's so up and down, and these teams are winning games that you don't expect them to win and losing games you don't expect them to lose. Like this game is a perfect example of that last night. Like 9 wins to me feels like a good team in this version of the NFL this season. So, and especially because it could be a playoff team. Like you could be a 9-win playoff team. So it's like if you can in some years make the playoffs at 9 wins, to me it doesn't change the meter that much if you're a good or a bad team. I mean, maybe it's more average than good. So yeah. Then I guess I call them an average team.
It's a big leap. That's a big gap there, I think.
Well, if you think I can't call them good, then maybe
I don't
call
think
them
9-8 is good. I mean, that's one game above average. That's slightly above average. Like 9-8 is not good to me.
Yeah,
10-7 I think is the minimum threshold of goodness. I think I like Atlanta. Maybe I'm being too prisoner of the moment. Maybe I'm being too recency bias when it comes to the Falcons. But I like the pieces. I think Penix is going to get better because the more snaps he gets, the better he's going to be. Honey Bajan is a freak. Drake London is a freak. And their defense might be better than their offense.
You don't the age factor for Penix doesn't concern you? That he's 25
not
in his
really.
Second year? I mean, he played so much college football that he's not, you know, the issues he has. Just feels like he should be a little bit farther along. Like him and Bo Nix, I put in the same category.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
So it's like, it's not that for the, can he be better? Yes. I think I question a quarterback at this age already and the amount of playing time he's had in college to what is his ceiling as a quarterback for the
Yeah.
Falcons. Like, can you win with Michael Penix? I'm not sure the answer is yes, but because of Bijan.
Define win, though. Do I think they can go 10-7 with Michael Penix? Absolutely, I do.
But past that, you're not sure.
I mean, I think that, I don't know, man. Like, I think he is solid enough with their weapons and a defensive first team that he could. No, I think that if everything broke right, I think they could have a deep playoff run in them.
Okay.
Maybe not this year.
But maybe next year?
Yeah, I think this is a playoff-ish team.
Yeah,
and like right now, they're on the outside looking in. 4-2 is what is needed to be a playoff team right now in the NFC. They're 3-2, though. Mm-hmm. Like they're knocking on the door. They're a half game back. Now, when you look at the NFC, though, it's like, which of these 7 teams are dropping? You got Tampa, you got Green Bay, you got San Fran, you got Philly, you got Seattle, you got Detroit, and you got L.A. Like, we talk a lot, oh, the NFC's not deep. NFC is deep. It's very deep.
Yeah, I the only team I look at in the NFC right now, I'd probably bet on the 49ers to miss the playoffs of all these teams just because of the injuries.
It does feel like that's going to catch up.
But,
to
like,
them.
They're the only one. That, like Detroit's going to be in, the Rams are going to be in, the Eagles will be in. Packers, Buccaneers, all those teams will be in.
NFC is deeper than the AFC.
So maybe the Seahawks are a problem. Like I think they're going to make the playoffs this year, but I still can't fully buy into Sam Darnold. You know, like I think Monday night's game versus the Texans will help a lot for my belief in him. If that's one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the NFL, he's very good. If he's a disaster, I won't believe in the Seahawks at all. So I think 49ers might be the only team that falls out of the playoffs right now. I think the NFC is pretty locked in, honestly.
I kind of do too.
Like I don't think we're going to see much change.
And you have teams that are knocking on the door that I would consider playoff worthy teams.
Washington,
like Atlanta, I think is playoff worthy.
Yeah.
Minnesota, I think is playoff worthy, although the quarterback situation concerns me. Washington, I feel is playoff worthy. I feel Chicago's playoff worthy. Like that's 4+7. That's 11 teams in the NFC. That I look at, I'm like, yeah, that's a playoff team. Mm-hmm. Whenever I do that to the AFC, I don't see 11. I see 7. I see 7. Like Indy, Pitt, yes. Somebody has to win the AFC North. The Chargers, their injuries are kind of weird. The Patriots, yeah, I think that they do look like a playoff team. The Bills, the Jags, not really. The Broncos, not really. The Chiefs do. The Texans, it depends on which quarter of football you're watching.
Yeah, so it's 6 in the AFC then.
Yeah. Like there's going to be a team or two in the AFC that you're like, that's not really a playoff team to me.
Yeah, whoever gets the 7 seed is going to be like the Steelers. If they sat at the 2 seed all year, they're going to go, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And then in the NFC, you're going to have 2 or 3 teams that miss it. And you're like, oh, that's a playoff team. The NFC is deeper than the AFC. Are the Falcons good? 713-780-ESPN. Are we overrating one game against the Buffalo Bills? 713-780-3776. We'll talk about the Buffalo Bill angle of this, too. Is this the Josh Allen dud that you know is going to happen at some point for Josh Allen that's going to prevent him from ever winning a Super Bowl? But what is the panic level in Buffalo? We'll get to the other Monday night game, to the undercard. The far inferior Monday night game yesterday. The Bears, who were gifted a victory
by
the
Commanders.
They were absolutely gifted. Commanders turned it over three times.
Hey, they took two of them away.
What?
Two of them were forced turnovers.
The last one's just like dropped.
I didn't say
it. Here you go. Merry Christmas.
I wasn't including that one, Jeremy.
It's in the script. We need the Bears to win. We'll cash them or trash them. The biggest NFL overreactions. SEC. Is the bias real about the SEC? 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. Maybe you're interested in a date with Ryan. 713-780-3776. We're on the YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at ESPN 975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham on the TikTok. On Twitter as well at ESPN 975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. I am at Jeremy Branham. The Bills angle of this. Bears Commanders. Are the Falcons good? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know what is good? Monument Chevrolet. They're the best dealership in the business, baby. That's why they've been around for five decades. They're a pillar of the community. Monument Chevrolet is the dealer that you can trust. You know, car buying's not fun. You know that. But it isn't Monument Chevrolet because they're transparent. They're not going to mess with you with pricing, extended warranties, upcharge you. All that nightmare stuff doesn't happen at Monument Chevrolet. They've been serving the Houston area for 50 years. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, pre-owned vehicles. And then these families keep coming back because they enjoy the car buying experience at Monument Chevrolet. Family feel, friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, and that's what leads to a fantastic culture. Monument Chevrolet, because they love you. They've extended truck month, too. Get 2.9% APR for 72 months. Just head to monumentchevrolet.com. Check out their full inventory, Beltway 8, 225. Check them out in person. The vehicle of the week, though, you know what it is? It is the Chevy EVs. There's the EV Blazer, speed and sporty style. There's the EV Equinox with its spacious interior, clean, modern design, long-range capability, which you got to have that in an EV. Get a fair deal, a transparent deal, and a no-hassle deal without wasting your time and aggravating stressful negotiations at Monument Chevrolet. Check them out online. Check out their full inventory, monumentchevrolet.com, or stop by. Visit them in person, 225 and Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios? Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Ryan likes this song. He goes to it every time he's in with us, which I like this song too. There's some, Joe, who think that the Alien Ant Farm version of the song
is better.
Is better than the Michael Jackson version of the song.
It's very good. But it's not better than the original.
That's probably where I'm at.
Yeah.
That's probably where I'm
it's
at.
It's very,
too.
Very good.
Yeah.
But it's not.
But
it's
we're not. Probably not cool enough to play the Michael Jackson, so we have to go with the bootleg version. We got to go with the remix.
Well, see, I think for radio, I think the remix is better.
Yeah, maybe so. Texter saying, assuming Ryan likes girls, maybe he likes boys. I think it's HIPAA related. I don't think we can ask him that.
HRMP live today?
I mean, I'm just reading the text. I'm just reading the text. We're not. That's HIPAA related, though, right? That's what Dusty would say? HIPAA related?
I guess so.
About the sexual interest of Ryan Morrow. He's 24. He's fine.
You're on one. How much coffee you had today?
You
come back yet?
I am on one today. Oh, like, there's days where I'm...
Don't clarify yet. We have to put an over-under.
An over-under on what? Oh, you like boys
cups.
Or girls?
No, coffee cups. Great, what? Great point.
What do you mean over-under on which sex you like?
Four and a half cups of coffee.
I'll go 3.5.
I'll take the over on 3.5.
My wife is starting to drink my coffee pots now again.
Oh.
She wasn't for a little bit. So, like, I'm not drinking as much, actually.
Good. Good.
No. I don't know.
I think that's good for your health, Jeremy.
I don't know that it is. There's studies each way. I actually looked it up one day after we discussed this.
Yeah.
They said like up to 6 cups is fine.
I think you were drinking like 10 a day.
I forget the math. I don't want to talk about it. Just like Ryan doesn't want to talk about if he likes boys or girls. Texter, if Jerick London doesn't step out of bounds at the goal line before the half, the Falcons score 31. Yeah, but I mean ifs and buts. Ifs and buts, candy and nuts. The offense looked good, no denying that. Eric the Buyer, 2010 Chargers finished number one in total offense and defense and missed the playoffs. That's embarrassing. I didn't realize that happened. That is a bad look for the Chargers. You guys still delusional in taking Stroud over Baker?
I never said that.
Yeah, that was me.
No, you guys me.
Yeah, you shouldn't you guys. That was firmly Brian McDonald who was saying that.
Yep.
No one else in the show was saying that CJ Stroud was better than Baker Mayfield. That did not happen. That was only Brian McDonald. That was not the talent. I'm just kidding. I did say that at the time, which I still take Stroud's potential, I think, over Baker maybe.
No, I agree with that.
I don't know. But you can't deny that Baker Mayfield's having a far better year, and he's having a far better year than maybe every quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know statistically if it matches up that way, but the fact that he just keeps having to put his team in position to win games, he keeps doing it.
And he's doing it with, like...
nobodies?
A couple of Johnsons that nobody knows.
Like, he might get Mike Evans back this week.
But, oh, really?
Yeah, they said Mike Evans. They're going to try.
That'd be good. Week. Regardless of age, you have to get NFL experience to get better. That's in regards to Michael Penix, another junkie. Baker Mayfield and that squad are winning the NFC Championship this year. I wonder if that was Scott that texted that in. Scott said the same thing on YouTube, at ESPN Houston on YouTube. Cash or trash, Tampa Bay wins the NFC this year.
Say again?
Cash or trash, I mean, it was pretty clear. Cash or trash, Tampa Bay wins the NFC this year.
Oh, I thought you said something else.
No, you just weren't paying attention.
Cash.
Really?
I'm a cashier.
You're going Tampa Bay to win
the
NFC?
I'm taking Tampa this year.
I'll take the field.
Yeah, I mean, you give me Tampa versus the field, like you would take that bet, but I'll take Tampa this year.
Okay.
I think they're going to make a run. It's like, it feels like if it's ever going to happen for Baker and the Buccaneers, the way this season has started, it feels like this is the year. With all the injuries they've already had, they're only going to get healthier as the season goes along. Like, look at what they're doing right now, and at some point, they're going to be able to roll out Evans, Abuka, Chris Godwin, Bucky Irving, Rashad White on one team.
Maybe. I mean, maybe. We were saying the same thing about the Astros. That, oh, at some point, you're going to have Pena. You're going to have Yordan. You're going to have Correa. You're going to have Isak. You're going to have Luis Garcia. You're going to have Javier. You're going to have Luis McCullers. Who's that? Lance McCullers. Three teams will get in the AFC West. Cash or trash that?
Cash.
I'm trashing that. I think trash. One of Denver and the Chargers will miss.
See, I think I'm in on Denver making it. Chargers are the one that, because of the injuries, not being able to protect Justin Herbert. Like, he's not going to be able to do what he did this last weekend every game. Well, I mean, that touchdown he threw where McConkey was great, but also shaking off the sack in the way that he did.
What was the reaction coming out of that game? Like, oh, great, gritty win from the Chargers. Oh, Miami's a dumpster fire, and player-only meetings are having no shows, and McDaniel can't lead. It took the Chargers a game-winning drive.
Yeah.
Like, what if they don't get a game-winning drive there? How much does that narrative from that game flip?
It's totally different.
Yeah, Chargers can't beat Miami. Oh, the Dolphins players skipping out of the players-only meeting led to cohesion and victory. Like, it took a game-winning drive to beat Miami. That game was in L.A. too, no?
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't a great result. I know they win, and winning's always great. But in terms of, like, my long-term outlook on the Chargers, I'm not forgetting that it took a game-winning drive for them to pick up a win over Miami.
Yeah, your last three games are going to be a loss versus the Giants, if you're the Chargers. A loss versus Jaden was back, right, for this Commanders game that they lost 27-10. Yeah, it was his first game back. And then the game-winning drive to beat the Dolphins. It's not – they're not in a great spot. I kind of just trust Harbaugh to win. To find a way.
Yeah, Jim, because he's a Michigan man.
Yep.
Corey, with what they're doing, I'd say Baker should be the favorite for MVP. But if Dallas had a defense, I'd say Dak is right there. Yeah, Dak's playing at a high level. I mean, there's no doubt there. Bucks ain't winning-ish. Baker's a choke artist. Okay. Hook him, I guess. Branham likes Housewives. It's not a stretch for him to be a little reactive and performative with his Homer takes. All good, JB. I don't like Housewives. I've never said that.
You just watch it?
No. Sometimes I do. Sometimes it's on in the background because the wife is watching it. Now, I do like some Bravo entertainment. I do watch some Bravo television shows. Vanderpump Rules is up there. Every now and then a season of Below Deck. What's the one in Charlotte? Or not Charlotte. What's the one in Charleston? I think it's Southern Charm. Yeah. Nothing wrong with a little Southern charm.
I only had Vanderpump on
Scandoval,
my list.
You know?
But that's all over now.
Yeah, they got a new cast, I think.
I don't watch that show. Dana watches it. Don't like it.
I don't think that the new season has started with the new cast. Oh, they have the Valley, too, which, like, all the graduates of Vanderpump go to the Valley.
That's the one that Dana watches. It seems awful. Like, Vanderpump is fine.
No, it's pretty good. I mean, you have a narcissist who's, like, going to rehab and
starting
drama.
No, that's... I tried the Valley.
Jax is his name.
Yeah, I tried the Valley. I told Dan, I was like, I can't watch this one with you.
Yeah.
It's where I had to bail.
Okay.
It's just too much Bravo for me. You love it, though.
I don't love Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of Bravo television shows that are tolerable. I think they're kind of funny, actually. I think they're pretty
funny. Well, because they're such a disaster.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a giant train wreck on your television at
disaster.
All times. Yeah.
That was actually a funny line on The Valley.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one of the ex-wives was telling her ex-husband that you're a disaster. And she talks with like a little bit of an accent because she's like not English.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you're a disaster. It's hilarious.
Your references are just so unexpected.
You're a disaster.
Even though I know you well enough to know that you watch these shows, the fact that you reference them as well as you do surprises me still.
You're a disaster. What's the panic level in Buffalo for you? 4-2 record, back-to-back losses. They enter the bye this week.
Like a 6? Because the Patriots are good? The Bills' defense is a problem.
They just have so many injuries.
They have a lot of injuries, and they still haven't really addressed the wide receiver position. They've tried. Like, I think I like Keon Coleman.
Eh.
Like, Khalil Shakir is okay.
He's my favorite receiver that they have.
But, like, they need help.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, they like to spread it around. They like to run the ball. They like Josh Allen to, you know, dissect the defense, all that stuff. I don't know if they need a go-to receiver. Kind of the same way that Mahomes didn't really, the back-to-back years after Tyreek. I don't know if that's an issue. I don't know that many people would disagree with you. But
Mahomes still had Kelce.
He did. Yeah, like, but I mean, like, Kincaid's not bad.
No, he was out last night. So maybe that helps, but I feel like they're still just missing a piece.
Mahomes also never had a running back like James Cook.
That's true.
I think it's a little bit of a Josh Allen problem. Like what does Brian always say? Take lock. I do have take lock when it comes to Josh Allen. Josh Allen can do things in a football field that no one else can do.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen's going to have a stretch of games where he looks like the greatest player to have ever played the game. But Josh Allen, every once in a while, is going to have a dud of a performance like he had yesterday, and that's why I don't think that Josh Allen can win 3 or 4 consecutive games in the postseason against the best competition in the NFL. At times, he is too reckless with the football.
It kind of reminded me of the Texans game.
The playoffs?
The regular season
last year.
Yeah, it reminded me of that, where it's just like he was not very good. I know there was like some concussion things that people thought might have happened last year's Texans game, but that's what last night reminded me of for Josh Allen, where it's just, you're right, it's a dud. It's just not good enough. Like, and you don't typically see those from the elite quarterbacks. Like, even Mahomes at his worst doesn't feel like Josh Allen was last night. So that's why I think, because I put it at a 6 because I'd be worried about what's happening in New England. You've got a great coach there. He might be one of the best coaches in the NFL. He shouldn't even be the Patriots coach. He should still be the Titans coach.
He should be in Tennessee.
But you have Drake May, who looks like he's going to be the best quarterback in that draft class. And you have Mike Vrabel, who's one of the best coaches in the NFL. So this window of opportunity that you had post-Tom Brady, post-Bill Belichick, feels like it's closing on you immediately. Yeah. I mean, this is the first time the Patriots have been in first place in the AFC East since, what, like 2019?
Since Brady.
Yeah.
I'm just going to always say that about New England.
Yeah.
This is the first time that the Patriots have done this since Brady. I'm just going to say that.
And it's the way to put it.
Since Brady.
So that's why it's a little higher, because just feel like they might have missed their window.
We're shutting the window.
No, we're not shutting it, but that's why it's at a 6, is because if the Patriots are for real, and they're not ready yet. Like, they still have a very poor roster in a lot of ways, the Patriots do. So, for the long term, that's why I'm at a 6. For this season, I think the Patriots,
okay.
I mean, the Bills still end up winning the division. But with Vrabel there in May and what they're going to be able to do, like, if the Patriots are going to be at the back of the top of the division, it feels like before we know it.
I'm like at a 4 with Buffalo.
Okay.
Although, I'm also on the record saying that Josh Allen's never going to win a Super Bowl. So, That's kind of where I'm at. But I don't look at the back-to-back losses as like the significant, oh no, Buffalo's on the way down, all that, because I still think they're a pretty good football team. All right, 713-780-3776. And then, you know, I think they're going to get healthy defensively. They're missing the greatest defensive player in our generation.
Oh, Ed Oliver.
He has not played recently. And once he gets back, that defense is going to look far better. And it's true. You know it's true.
He does miss a lot of games, though.
Yeah, it's, you know. We're talking about peak performance here.
He is very good, though.
Very good football.
When he's out there.
All right, the other Monday Night Football game, Bears-Commanders. Where are you at on the Bears after they were gifted a victory? Where are you at with the Commanders after they gifted a victory? 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. 713-780-ESPN. Texter on the text line. Big Ed played last night, by the way.
Oh, did he?
Dominating defense. He wasn't himself, though. I don't know. He was on a pitch count. Not the same. So what do you think of the Bears after their win?
I feel good. Redemption. Revenge taken after last year's debacle. I mean, I was really impressed with the run game, with the defense. They forced, I think it's 9 turnovers in their last 3 games. They've won their last 2 games 25-24 by a point. First time, I think it's like the first time it's ever happened. Teams have won back-to-back games by the same score. By a point winning margin. So I feel good about him last night. I thought Caleb was fine. So that's why I liked the most is he wasn't great. He wasn't as good as he was the previous, you know, weeks this season. There's still a lot of room to grow. So that's why I feel good about it. Ben Johnson coming out of the bye, got his team in the right position to win. And yes, they got some help. The fumble definitely helped them.
Yeah.
But that's a game, but these last 2 games they've played, you know, getting a game winning field goal or blocking a game winning field goal against the Raiders, then getting the game winning field goal last night against the Commanders. Those are games that Matt Eberflus lost. So I feel pretty good. Like, I did not think they would be at 3-2 at this point in the season.
It was a weird game because they jumped out to that 13-0 lead. Commanders come all the way back. They're up by 8 in the fourth quarter. And then you still find a way to win. I thought that was a good win, too. I mean, it was on the road. Road wins aren't going to be pretty. Like, you do it against a team that, you know, went to the NFC Championship last year. I think you have to pay attention to the Bears. As we were just talking about all those NFC teams that look playoff worthy. Both of those teams yesterday looked playoff worthy to me.
Yeah, I mean, Washington, we went over the NFC. I still think they're going to make the playoffs this year. I mean, they're a good team. Now, what happened with the run defense yesterday would be concerning because DeAndre Swift has been terrible this season. So the fact that he ran over them the way he did, I would be a little concerned. But Jaden Daniels is, man, the throws he makes, he's incredible. So I would still feel pretty good about myself if I'm Washington. But last night's game, because of how good the NFC could be very costly for them.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, I feel good about them still.
Uh-huh.
I still feel good about them.
I didn't realize Moody was there in Chicago now.
Yeah, they picked him up after like week 2 because their kicker missed a bad field goal. And they picked him up and put him on the practice squad. And then they called him up last night because their kicker was hurt.
Who was the guy before Moody?
It's Kairos Santos is their kicker.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, but he was hurt last night.
He had his foot stepped on?
Was that
how he got hurt?
I think so. I think that was the same.
So did they put him on the IR?
No, it's just last night, I think.
Okay. Because they brought Moody. They signed him to the 53, right?
Yeah, I think Moody might just be the kicker going forward.
Yeah.
Kairos can't kick from 50+. That's kind of a problem.
Yeah, but Moody's just like sucks.
Yeah, but maybe last night was the...
Yeah, but he also had the one block.
Yeah, that was a low line drive.
Like, I don't think that was. I don't think, like, a lot of times whenever you have a block kick, it's like, oh, you know, the protection didn't hold up.
No, that was on him.
Yeah, it was on Moody.
100%.
Like, that was on, like, so yay, he gets the game winning field goal, but he also puts you in a position where you were trailing late in the game and needed, you know, a fumble and a drive.
Yeah. I mean, I feel pretty good about them last night. To come out of the bye and beat Washington the way, you know, getting that victory was. They're grinding out wins right now, I mean, for the most part, and that's what they got to keep doing. So I was impressed with them last night, and I continue to be very impressed with Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen. He's doing a great job for the defense.
Yeah. Todd says the NFC North is going to destroy itself. All those teams can win in any game.
Yep. Totally agree.
I think the Lions are head and shoulders above everybody else in that division.
That's I think the rest of the North will destroy itself. The Lions are going to eventually run away with this thing. Because they're not in first place today because it's Green Bay's tie.
Yeah.
But like the Lions are going to win that division.
The Packers kind of annoy me. Like, I don't feel like they're playing to the level that they're capable of. But maybe that's like who they are currently versus what they can be. Like, maybe they can be very good.
Yeah.
But right now, there's like, that Bengals game left a bad impression. I know they won it, but that's just like, hey, Cincinnati's like, they're threatening to win this game. Like, how did you not put them away earlier? Flacco is playing for the first time in Cincinnati. Like, their distribution of like getting the ball to receivers, too, is kind of weird. Like, here you go, Romeo Doubs. You can have the ball 10 times. Hey, Matthew Golden, go Cougs. Drafted you in the first round. We never draft first-round receivers. You're going to touch it 5 times. Like, it's just it's weird to me. Now, Josh Jacobs is a stud, though.
The Packers almost have too many guys. I mean, they've drafted all these guys recently in the first, second, and third round. They don't even have Christian Watson out there right now. He's got to be back at some point this season, I would imagine.
Yeah, but he's just a guy, too.
He's kind of just a deep threat for them.
Yeah.
Like reminds me of Will Fuller.
He gives you a little bit of a very different profile.
But like just like really like the deep ball, like the big the big play is all they really kind of get from him.
Yeah, Fuller was like skinny and really, really fast. Yeah. Like Watson's built like a Greek god, you know. He's a massive human being. Rocky, I think last night's game was a result of having a dynamic back that's a game changer. Would be nice if Casario would use a high pick on one or trade for one. Or maybe just sound Rico Dowdle in free agency. That would have been neat. But it's funny, though, because when you look at Swift, like, were we saying that Swift is a dynamic back before yesterday's game?
He's talking about Bijan. He clarified as the next text.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was thinking about that, too, actually, during that game. Because, like, people don't love drafting running backs in the first round. They don't like paying big money to running backs in the first round. But are you telling me that Bijan Robinson, Saquon Barkley last year, Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey,
Jahmyr Gibbs,
maybe Derrick Henry, Jahmyr Gibbs, like, are you telling me those guys aren't game changers?
They're totally worth it.
I think so.
I think it's a mistake to take a running back when you're early in your process.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not going to be a playoff contender, it doesn't make any sense to take a running back. But when you're in a position to a running back can elevate you, which Atlanta hasn't really had that, right? Like, Bijan hasn't really elevated them yet, but he's the best player on their roster.
Might be the best offensive player in the NFL.
Yeah. So, like, it's worth it. Jahmyr Gibbs, it felt like a risk at the time. But look what the Lions did immediately as soon as they got him and David Montgomery. So I think drafting a running back in the first round is totally fine if you are in position to take the next step. Same thing, like just like Omari Hampton made sense. Like that's where Gensi might not have made sense with the Raiders. They're not
too early.
They're not close. But Hampton, they're right there. The Chargers are right there, and you can use that running back. So if for some reason the Texans were in position to draft Jeremiah Love, there's not even a question for me. It makes sense. Now, could you still help your roster elsewhere? Yes. But if they went with a running back in the first round next year, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah. To me, it depends on the board and all that stuff. Also don't like, hey, second round running back. Like there's a lot of really
exactly.
James Cook was a second round running back. Breece Hall, who like people are clamoring over second round running back. So it doesn't even have to be a first rounder. It could be somebody in the second.
So at what point in the draft process, like, what position in the draft do you have to say that, okay, we're not in a position to draft? Or like, what number would you say?
I think it's just depend on...
Yeah, I don't think it's a number.
I think it's on your outlook for next year, right? So, like, the Texans' outlook for next year would still be that they're going to be a playoff contender next season. So, that's where you have a down year. It's still okay to take a running back, I think, in that situation.
Yeah, I think it depends on where your roster's at. Depends on where your roster's like you said, like your roster's in a good spot. You have the ability of drafting a luxury, whereas you know the Raiders probably weren't in a position to draft a luxury because their team was so incomplete. So I think it's like because the Lions were pretty dang good.
I mean, look
whenever they drafted Jahmyr or the Eagles, like they didn't have to be a draft either. And look, Casario did kick the tires on Saquon Barkley. Like he tried to get Saquon Barkley. Ultimately, the Eagles probably offered a little bit more. Saquon went there. Like it can be in free agency too.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I mean, the Niners traded their whole draft class sans a first round pick for Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah,
so it doesn't have to be in the draft. It could also be via trade. It could be via free agency.
I mean, the Texans really did that too with Joe Mixon. Like they traded a seventh rounder for Joe Mixon, look how good it was for a year.
Now, he's not that game-changing back, though.
He's not
good.
Yeah.
But he's not that elite running back who's a game-changer offensively.
Yeah, so like I think like you can add a running back. And I think both games last night, the two teams that won, that their running backs in those games were dynamic. I feel like we're coming back a little bit, Jeremy. Like, back into the running back.
Oh, ball. I do too.
Like, because the way that they're covering these guys, you have to be able to run the ball now with these deep cover two zones that they're running. It's, if you can't run, you can't do anything. The run has to open up everything for your offense now. That's why the Chiefs, like Isaiah Pacheco, probably looked the best he's looked this season in their win over the weekend. Like, you have to be able to run the football again. So I think we're going back to where the running back value is going to increase even more so.
Well, I've been on this for a while. Like, do you want to pay, you know, the 10th best wide receiver in the NFL $30 million, or would you want to pay the top running back $20 million? I think it's pretty obvious.
Play the running back?
Yeah. I think that running backs have been devalued so much that it's criminal now in the NFL. I really do. And I know that they don't have a long shelf life and all of that, but how is their AAV so low compared to these receivers?
It doesn't make any sense. The thing that's going to hurt them is kind of what's happening this year, I think, with the Eagles and the Ravens, where Saquon hasn't looked that good. Derrick Henry hasn't been great. He only has, what, two games this year over 100 yards. So that's where it's, do you invest in these guys and they're good for 1 year and then they slow down the following year? Or is that just coincidence that they're both struggling in the moment right now? But you look at the teams who are at the top of their divisions right now, most of them can run the ball pretty well. The Packers, the Lions who are right there, they both can run. Like, you're seeing, I mean, the Steelers can run the ball pretty well. The Colts can run the ball. Really, pretty much everyone in the West can run the ball when they're healthy. And J.K. Dobbins is part of the reason why the Broncos are 4-2.
Like, how many receivers are more valuable than a lead running back?
Nah, probably like 15.
That high? I think it's closer to like 10,
so,
maybe.
Okay, so.
But if you just look at the top salaries for running backs, yeah. Just AAV. Saquon's the only running back making $20 million or more. McCaffrey's at 19. Drop off to Henry at 15, Taylor's at 14, Kamara's at 12.25, Jacobs at 12, Cook's 11.5, Kyron Williams 11, Aaron Jones is 10. So, I mean, is that 3, 6? That's only 9 running backs. 9 running backs in the NFL make double digit millions of dollars.
That's crazy.
And only one makes 20.
Yeah.
There are, I can't even count how many there are. There's probably 25 receivers that are making $20 million or more.
Who's the worst one?
The worst one. Stephon Diggs is making 21-1. Chris Godwin's making 22. Cortland Sutton's making 23. Calvin Ridley's making 23. Michael Pittman's making 23-3. Devontae Smith's 25. Jameson Williams is 26-6. Yeah, DJ Moore's 27.5. Jalen Waddle's 28.25. Brandon Ayuk's 30. Tyreek is 30. AJ Brown is 32. Garrett Wilson's 32.5. DK's at 33. Are you telling me DK Metcalf is more valuable than Christian McCaffrey?
No, he's not.
Then why is McCaffrey making 19 and DK Metcalf is making 33?
It's shelf life. It's the only argument.
Well, it's because the NFL general managers have manipulated the market to kind of mold it into this. But if I'm a general manager, like, I don't want to pay my wide receiver. I think Christian Kirk's making like $20 million this year. Yeah, Christian Kirk's at $18 million. Christian Kirk is making more money this year only than any running back outside of Saquon Barkley or Christian McCaffrey.
It doesn't make any sense.
Like, would you rather have Christian Kirk or would you rather have Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry.
Like, I would not be paying my wide receiver $15 million or more. I would be going out and getting one of these elite running backs, and you had the chance. I mean, you could have gotten Barkley. You could have gotten Derrick Henry. Josh Jacobs was a free agent. Maybe too soon. Maybe he was a free agent before you were really trying to push over the top. But, like, I think that the general managers have screwed up the market so much to where it's so unbalanced, it's stupid.
Yeah, I don't even know how they fix it.
Currently, through 6 games played, and this is going to Jeremy's point, Christian McCaffrey is 8th in the league in receiving yards, and that is over DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
But you're right. It's the way they've manipulated this market, and I don't know how you fix it.
I mean...
Because you would need one of these elite...
It's not their duty to fix it.
No, but the only way to, like, really fix it is for one or two of these guys to hit open free agency at the end of their contract when they're younger. Like, Derrick Henry's late in his career when he's hitting the market. Saquon was pretty young.
But they're still getting paid.
No, but, like, you would need rookie contract Jonathan Taylor to hit the open market and to create a bidding war for a player like that.
I think what they need to do is they need to take a higher AAV for a shorter term. Like, because if I'm a general manager, like, hey, let's just say Christian McCaffrey's a free agent. Yeah, I'll give you $25 million a year for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, okay, well, there's the AAV. And then eventually down the road, running backs start to tack on an extra year, an extra year, an extra year. And I think that's the way that you would have to go about it. But I'd rather pay one of those guys $20 million than my wide receiver two, $20 million. Like, it's dumb. The balance is dumb. All right, 713-780-3776. Cash them or trash them. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Maybe you're an underpaid running back and you want to escape the stress and anxiety of being underpaid. Escape the rat race. Get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. You'll be happy that you did. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. They got open green spaces. Beautiful. Maybe 100-yard green spaces. Wildlife you don't see in the city. Beautiful, majestic trees and some of the best fishing in Texas. They got the Two Creeks parallel to their property. They got the big catch and release pond in the middle of the property. You can't beat it. Just 90 minutes from Houston, you can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Hike on their 92-acre property. Do a little kayaking. Play a little pickleball. Hang out by the pool with a drink. That's a fantastic time. Glamping. They got that for you. They got the cabins. They have the tree houses. Pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. And right now, you can get 20% off your stay through October. It's fantastic. You're going to love it. And Two Creeks Crossing Resort is always taking care of their visitors. Let's just take this week, for instance. Thirsty Thursday on Thursday, of course. How great does that sound? Frozen Friday, that's fantastic. Bonfire and S'mores, they're starting their fall festival. They got bingo on Saturday, kid activities, kid crafts, college football at Swampers. They even got some live music on Saturday. The Mud Creek Revival. Everybody loves the Mud Creek Revival. So book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We'll do cash 'em or trash 'em at the top of the hour. But get them in. Get in your cash 'ems or trash 'ems. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line. 713-780-3776. Did you see what Pat Beverly said the other day? This would be a good cash or trash precursor. A little tease. Cash or trash. This is Pat Beverly. He did say he was drinking some wine, though, so maybe he's already playing the drunk excuse.
Okay.
The Las Vegas Aces, that's who they are, right?
Yep.
They won like back to back or three in a row or four in a row.
Three out of four.
Something nuts. They're the dynasty of the WNBA. Patrick Beverly, whenever they won it all, he said that the Las Vegas Aces, he thinks could beat an NBA team.
Okay.
Patrick Beverly said that. No chance. He does have a podcast that he's trying to, I think, maybe bring attention to.
Yeah, no chance.
Trash.
0% chance.
If they played an 82-game schedule, who's the worst team in the NBA?
Maybe the Hornets?
No, actually, you know what? Let's do it the other way. Let's get rid of the best team in the NBA. Let's take away Oklahoma City. Let's say that the Las Vegas Aces took the spot of the Oklahoma City Thunder in the NBA. So they're playing, you know, not the best team in the NBA because the Thunder just won the championship. So they play an 82-game season. They're replacing the Thunder. They're playing an 82-game season against the Thunder schedule. What is their record at the end of the year?
2-79.
You're giving them two wins?
Two wins.
Oh, I think it'd be the dream season.
I think they would get two.
I don't think there's a chance they're getting one.
I think there's a night where they play a LaMelo Ball and he's just terrible.
LaMelo Ball would like get 20 rebounds in that game.
I know. I'm saying maybe they get two.
Do you think they would go 2-80?
Yeah, 2-80.
No way, man.
You think they go 0-82?
B-Mac said 2-79. Come on, B-Mac. No, he said Joe Math. I don't think they would win a game.
Yeah, I mean, the tallest player on their roster is 6'4".
Yeah. Like, that's a point guard in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, the rebounding discrepancy here would be insane. You would just post up and score 180 points.
Yeah. There's no chance. There's no chance.
You gave them two wins.
No, like, they could be competitive at all, like throughout the season. I think they could get two games. 82 tries to win two games?
No chance. They're not winning a single game. A single game. No way.
I just thought I was being nice.
0-82. It'd be the dream season. How are they? No, they're not beating somebody. Joe is delusional, says a junkie on the text line. They wouldn't beat any college team. How far down before the Aces would beat a college team? Like, college team number what would they beat?
I mean, probably pretty. I mean, I think you have to go pretty far, like outside the Power Five or outside the Power Four.
I'm not sure they would beat a high school team.
Yeah, I mean, at least outside the Power Four,
like a high school state champion,
like D2, D3.
I think it'd be tough, man. Like D2 still going to have some 6'9", 6'10" dudes.
Yeah, it's probably high school. And not like a good high school.
Our frat used to scrimmage the Lady Cougs, and we always beat them. I spent my first semester of college at Sam Houston State, and we would play the women's basketball team in the rec. It was pretty good. Best of seven series. We might win in seven.
Yeah,
but we weren't any good. You know what I mean? Like it was a bunch of like normal college dudes scrimmaging Sam Houston State women's basketball team in the rec, and like beating them half the time.
Yeah, I don't even know why you would ask the question. I think it's a crazy take. Like, they're different sports for a reason.
They like, can't be one college boys team, says a junkie.
Like the best player in the WNBA, the girl who won the MVP. She won MVP.
Angel Wilson?
Yeah, MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, scoring title, all by herself in 1 year.
Texter said 0-92.
Like, she's...
How big is Asia Wilson?
I'm not sure.
STFU, two wins.
I was just being nice, guys.
No, we're not asking you to be nice, though. We're asking you to be honest with your takes. I got 0-82. How many you got, Ryan?
I think I got 0-82.
They're not winning a game,
Asia
man.
Asia Wilson is 6'4".
She's going to be shut down.
Yeah, I mean, if there was anyone in the WNBA that was good enough to cross over, don't you think it would happen? If Caitlin Clark was good enough to have minutes in the NBA, don't you think they would allow it if she wanted to?
Yeah, I think so.
But she's not. But she can't. And when she's healthy, she's already one of the best players in the league. So, like, there's not even really a conversation.
You gave him two wins.
I know I gave him two wins. I was being too nice.
It might be the worst take you've ever had.
I was being generous.
Brian's convinced that you said 2-79.
I did say 2-79.
You did?
Yeah. I was thinking like baseball home games for a second. So I thought I did 81 instead of 82.
I said Joe math.
The math was correct. The amount of games I remember that the NBA plays was wrong.
Beaumont United High School would beat the Aces as a junkie. There would maybe have a shot against the worst high school team in any given state just from shooting ability. No, they would beat bad high school teams. They would beat bad high school teams without a shadow of a doubt. The question wasn't, do you want to be nice and give them two games? The question was, how many would they win if you take an all-female team and line up against an all-male team? 99.7% of the time, the male is going to win, and I don't care if it's baseball, basketball, football. It depends on the level.
But I mean, that goes back to like the Serena Williams stuff, where she played against like one of the lowest ranked tennis players and lost.
Is that true?
Yeah. Or no, she said she would lose.
Oh, really?
Because it's a different sport.
It is a different sport.
Because they hit it so much harder than the women. Like, it's not about like, it's not a gender thing. It's a different sport, basically, with how hard a serve and things like that are. That's why we don't see any crossover.
I think the gender comes into play there.
Yeah. But like, there's no crossover in anything. That's why there's not supposed to be. Like, that's why we have Title IX.
Yeah, what's like the closest sports you've had crossover? Like Annika Sorenstam, I think, made a cut in a men's tournament.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking golf.
But even then, like, she was the greatest golfer for a period of time, and she struggled to make the cut.
Yeah. Like, golf is the only one because if you're really good in, you know, your drive is obviously going to be less than, right?
Sure.
But if you can putt really well, like, can you have a day in which you make the cut? I think you can.
Gymnastics.
Gymnastics, for sure.
Depending on the event.
Yeah, because they don't obviously do all the same events.
Like, I'll take Simone Biles on the mat versus any dude.
Do the dudes do the mat?
I don't know.
I don't think they do.
No. I don't know what they do. What is the all? Do they not?
Maybe they do.
Because they do different events. Like, they do the bars. Women don't do the bars, right? They do the uneven bars. Whereas the men do the rings.
Yeah.
Do the men do the little thing with, like, the vault?
I don't think so.
They might do that. It'd be kind of weird if dudes had a floor routine.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think they do a floor routine.
God. All right. That's not a real video, dude. 1970. You're not reading this stuff, but that's not a real video that you saw out there. That video that you saw is not real. 713-780-3776. Let's cash them or trash them next. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Cash You're going to be out at the U of H football game on Saturday. It's going to be a great time. Weather's going to be fantastic. You're going to love it. Cougars, by the way, playing some really good football, 5-1. Willie Fritz in his second year, doing what Willie Fritz does in his second year. They've already surpassed last year's win total, a win away from bowl eligibility. Arizona, a good football team. It's going to be a great time. Saturday, homecoming at TDECU Stadium. You need to be there. Get your tickets now. UHCougars.com/tickets. 713-GO-COUG. Defense, Cougar defense been stout all year. Offense, 450 yards this past Saturday. Connor Wigman threw for over 300 yards. So it's going to be a fun one against Arizona Saturday at 11. Tailgating begins bright and early. Going to get some breakfast tacos. Tailgating starts at 8 a.m. Cougs on parade at 9:50 in the Cougar Alley. And then it's homecoming. So you got a homecoming court presentation at halftime. It's time to pack TDECU Stadium. Houston, Arizona for homecoming. Don't miss the pageantry, the pride, the roar of Cougar Nation. Kickoff at 11. This is Houston's team. You need to be there to create a true home field advantage for the Cougars. Come early. Be loud. Wear red. Get those tickets. UHCougars.com/tickets or 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets today.
ESPN 97.5.